This is a reading of The Origin Scroll, Volume 1 of the Tarka Trilogy, by Richard S. Tuttle. Chapter 14. Attar's Cove. The sails fluttered as the captain brought the bow of the ship into the wind. It was pitch black out, and only the skill of the captain kept the ship from running aground. The sky was overcast, and the moonshine could not penetrate the cloud cover. The island was only a quarter mile away, but she could not even see it. Captain Hill knew where it was, though.
"Are you sure you don't want to be dropped off in the cove?" he asked.
"No thanks, Captain. I prefer to land on the isolated stretch I picked out on the chart."
"Are you sure this is it?" queried Geneva.
The captain laughed. "Isolated area. The whole island was uninhabited."
"Aye, Geneva, this is it. Is this where you want to be picked up as well?"
"No, Captain. The cove will be fine for the pickup. I'll see you 1 month from today. Calm sea to you and your crew." One of the crew was already in the dinghy to take her ashore. Geneva grabbed her bag and climbed into the small boat. The trip to shore was short. The sailor got out and pulled the boat onto the beach so she could step ashore. "Good luck, ma'am," he called as he pushed the dinghy into the surf and scampered aboard. It was still 2 hours to sunrise, and Geneva knew she would have to wait for it before going inland. But she wanted to land undetected. She walked along the edge of the jungle looking for something that might be considered a path. She wasn't sure what type of creature to expect in a jungle, and was slightly frightened. The thought amused her. If her hunch was correct, she was about to encounter the deadliest creature on the planet, and she was worried about spiders and snakes. She found a break in the foliage and entered the jungle. If her sense of direction was any good, she had about a half-mile trek through the jungle. The path, if you could call it that, was anything but straight. Without moon or stars, keeping her direction would not be easy. The jungle was alive with sounds that faded as she approached and picked up again after she had passed. To Geneva, the sounds were deafening, but she was sure that she was not the only animal on the island that could cause them to fluctuate. It took her an hour to go the half mile, and her sense of direction had been fairly good. She looked around for a suitable tree and found one that had several large branches about 20 feet up. She started climbing and heard something large moving through the bushes. She hung in place, and the noise kept moving further away. She continued her climb, branch by branch. She reached for the next branch, and it moved and hissed. Geneva suppressed a scream and looked up. A 7-foot snake had been resting on that branch, but was now slithering down the tree. She pulled herself up and sat on the large branch with her back against the trunk. Now she had to wait for the magician to show himself. She wasn't sure if this was Sarek's hiding place, but some magician lived here who didn't want to be found. The hut below her was small and rustic, but looks could be deceiving. She had thought it strange to see a tiger, a camel, and a lemur in the same place, and Havas had confirmed it. She was also sure that the clearing where she had faced the tiger was the very clearing that had contained a hut moments before. The tiger hadn't attacked, of course, because it is a pet, someone's pet. The first rays of dawn were sprinkling the forest clearing with dancing lights. Someone or something was moving in the hut below. She realized that she didn't even know what Sarek looked like. How would she be able to tell? Did he have a family? Would they be here with him? Too many questions. She would have to wait and see. It was half an hour before the door opened. A mature woman wearing a purple caftan, scattered with red flowers, came out carrying a bowl filled with white liquid. She laid the bowl in the clearing in front of the hut and sat down. Several moments later, a tiger came up the path. The tiger walked over to the woman and nudged her with its head. The woman ruffled the big cat's fur on the side of its head and murmured to it. The cat lapped from the bowl, and the woman rose and smoothed her short blonde hair. When the tiger had devoured the contents of the bowl, the woman and the cat strolled down the path to the beach. Geneva's view of the beach was very limited, and she could not see them. She could not get out of the tree for fear that someone coming out of the hut would see her.
She still had little information to form an opinion. Was the woman the magician, or was someone else in the hut? She could only wait and watch. Geneva watched the entire day, and her muscles grew stiff. She had been able to flex them and change her position a little, but she was very uncomfortable. The woman spent most of the day in the hut. She made several trips to the beach. No other person entered or left the hut. Nightfall was coming, and Geneva could not sleep in the tree. She had expected to develop a plan the first day here, but she could not think of a way to approach this woman without the risk of exposing herself to Sarek, if he was indeed inside. She decided to wait a little longer. An hour after sunset, it was beginning to get dark. There was no light in the hut. Geneva figured the occupants would be going to sleep. She quietly climbed down and lowered herself to the ground and headed for the cove. She would sleep on the beach and wait for the woman's trip to the beach on the next morning. Geneva had tossed her bag into the bushes from where she slept. She did not want any recent footprints to indicate she was awake. She heard a rustle of someone approaching the beach and feigned sleep. She could hear the woman and the cat approaching on the sand now. She wondered what must be going through the woman's mind after seeing a woman's body on the beach. It was risky to let her approach with no defenses, but Geneva could not let magic give her away. "No, Tofu, you'll scare her, if she's alive, that is." The woman bent down to feel Geneva's pulse. Geneva must be careful not to lie, just in case the woman was suspicious enough to try detecting for one. Geneva groaned and made a slight movement with her arm. The woman made no further advances or attempts at conversation, so Geneva opened her eyes and looked around until she saw the woman. "Oh, where am I?" "You are safe. How did you get here?" "I was on a boat to Kantor. It was dark out. Who are you?" "Names are not important here. The question is, what are we to do with you?" "Does the boat to Kantor stop here? I could get on the next one." "No, no boat stops here. Nobody comes here." "Oh, bother. Come on, I'll get you something to eat. You must be hungry. Don't mind Tofu. He's as tame as a kitten." Geneva arose unsteadily and followed the woman. She was obviously going back to the hut. Geneva would know very soon if anyone else lived inside. They arrived at the hut and entered. Inside was one room. There was a small bed in one corner, only large enough for a single person. There was a small fireplace, a table and a chair, a bookshelf and a small pile of wood. This woman was the magician. "I see no real injury. That's good. We need to find a way to get you off the island." "How can I get off the island when the boat does not stop here? Can I stay with you for a while?" "No. I want nothing to do with people. You have to leave the island. I will find a way." Geneva knew the woman would find a way, even if it required magic. The disappearing hut trick was no beginner's spell. This woman was either a master or close to it, and Geneva had a hunch who she was. Geneva had to find a way to prolong her stay. She may be able to gain some insight into her enemy. "If you don't want me here, I can stay on the beach until I see a passing boat." "Not a bad idea. Here, eat this, and don't waste it. Food is precious." Geneva ate the porridge and wandered over to the bookshelf. The woman immediately pulled Geneva away. "Here now. Don't go snooping in other people's belongings. People are always bothering me. Why don't you all just stay away? Finish up your coconut milk and be gone."
"I didn't mean anything. I'm sorry, Kirsta. I really didn't mean anything by it."
"You people never mean it. You all just..."
"What did you say?"
"I never said my name.
Who are you? Who sent you?" she screamed.
Geneva began to think she had pushed too far. Kirsta was a master, and she didn't appear to be able to control her rage very well. If she didn't do something quick, one of them could die.
"I mean you no harm, Kirsta. I was on a ship that stopped here some time ago, and saw your hut, and then it disappeared. I saw Tofu, a camel, and a lemur. I knew a magician lived here, but thought little of it.
Later, I happened to be speaking to a master magician and asked him who the 5 greatest magicians in the world are. Kirsta was the only female name, so I just assumed that you must be Kirsta. A likely story, and one that I don't care about. I live here because I don't want company, and I don't want people to know that I even exist. Now you present me with a problem. You'll probably go around blabbing about meeting the great Kirsta or some other nonsense, and I can't have that. If you wish, I will promise not to mention your name or existence to anyone. I said that I mean you no harm, and my word is always good. Do you take me for a fool? I am supposed to trust your word when I don't even know your name? I'm sorry, Kirsta. My name is Geneva, and I will leave you alone. Geneva calmly walked out the door and took the path down to the beach. She retrieved her bag and sat on the sand. She had not found Sarek. She had found Kirsta, and the woman could offer some insight on Sarek, but she was not going to. Now Geneva had 4 weeks to wait for her pickup. An hour later, Kirsta appeared and sat down next to Geneva. Geneva, I am sorry for my behavior. I have spent too many years running away from people, and I am taking my frustration out on you. I want you to stay with me for a while. Perhaps some company will do me good. We can make another bed and chair easily. Say you will stay. Geneva looked at Kirsta. The woman had been crying, and it was Geneva's fault. She should have left her alone. But now she really seemed to want company. Perhaps it would be good for Kirsta to have someone to talk to, and hopefully she will talk about Sarek. Kirsta, I truly apologize for invading your privacy. I will stay or go, whichever you wish. Then let's get busy at making some furniture, Kirsta replied. Geneva could not picture this woman being part of Sarek's team. It was obvious that she had lived alone here for many years. She invited Geneva into her life and shared her hut and food. Geneva joined her whenever she left the hut. Their walks along the beach were quiet strolls to visit with her animals and enjoy the beauty of the island. The tiger in particular seemed quite attached to Kirsta. Kirsta didn't talk much. She arose and went to bed with the sun, and spent many hours in between in her chair, staring out the hole in her hut that served as a window. Geneva could not fathom a master whiling the time away day after day. Each morning, Geneva would awaken to find Kirsta staring at her. Geneva did not feel threatened by it. Kirsta was beginning to talk a little, but Geneva's attempt to gain information were met with silence. Kirsta would talk about her animals or the beauty of the island, but nothing of substance. One day, Kirsta tripped over a tree root and sprained her wrist. The wrist swelled, and Geneva could see that Kirsta was in pain. So she asked, "Kirsta, you are a master magician. Why do you suffer in pain when you have the ability to ease it?" Kirsta's eyes moistened and tears started to flow down her cheeks. Magic is an evil curse, and to use it is to add to the evil in the world. You get out of life what you deserve. The pain is what I deserve. If only I deserved worse, I could rest in peace. But death is a reward that has been denied to me. She put her arms around Geneva and cried. Geneva, I have been an evil woman and made a shambles of my life. The two that I loved spurned me, and the one that loved me, I abandoned. Geneva held her close and comforted her. He may have spurned you, but Egum still loves you. Kirsta sat erect. Bewilderment, joy, and fear fought for supremacy in Kirsta's emotions. You know of Egum? Yes, he talks fondly of you, often. His heart tears when he remembers the last day when he realized that he must deny you access to the library. His fear of Sarek and the dark side overwhelms his love for you. Egum is the wisest man I have ever known. Sarek means to have that library and use Egum's body as a bookend. Sarek's a fool. He will kill Egum and anyone else who gets in his way for his quest for something he will never find. I've seen to that, at least. The origin scroll? Asked Geneva. You destroyed it? Kirsta was composed now. She dried her tears, and Geneva saw a fiery spirit that did not exist before.
You know an awful lot about things, Geneva, yet I know nothing about you. Who are you? Where have you come from, and how do you know about these things?
There isn't really much to tell. I am a student of Egham. I was traveling with my Uncle Hazra 5 years ago when the Yaqui attacked. Uncle Hazra died, and I was left alone. I wandered and ended up finding Egham. He accepted me as a student, and I have studied with him ever since. He does care for you, Kirsta. His eyes water whenever he thinks of you. I also think his hatred of Sarek strengthens when he thinks of Sarek using you.
Yes, he was using me. I was young and thought that Sarek loved me, but I was just a brilliant student whom he could bend to his will. When I balked at reciting the Black Devil spell, he started showing his true colors. He had me traveling the world looking for his precious origin scroll. That's when I found Fragrance.
What is Fragrance? Quizzed Geneva.
Kirsta's green eyes darkened and she laughed. Fragrance is a light side spell that blocks mind control. Sarek would never give it a second look if he ran across it. He spends no time on the light side anymore. And if he did, the name of the spell would be enough for him to skip over it. I cast Fragrance and finally agreed to cast Black Devil. Only after I had cast his spell did I see the true Sarek, and what I saw scared me. His heart is blacker than a moonless night in the jungle. I continued to look for the origin scroll, but now I was seeking it to keep it from Sarek. After I found it, I came here to hide, my prison in the jungle.
The origin scroll, did you destroy it?
Yes, it's gone forever, and Sarek will never possess it.
But couldn't you have used it to destroy Sarek?
I couldn't take the chance. What if I failed and he got his hands on it? It could have been the end of everything we know. Besides, I don't think I could kill Sarek.
Why not? You said he was the embodiment of evil.
Oh yes, he is that. No, if anyone deserves to die, it is Sarek. I am not a destructive person, Geneva. I don't think I could have gone through with it.
Well, I must. There is too much to love in the kingdom to allow Sarek to destroy it all. Geneva put her arms around Kirsta.
Sarek has destroyed enough good things already. I will need your help.
Geneva, no. He will kill you. Stay here with me. You'll be safe here.
Kirsta, I cannot dwell on my own safety. If we all hide, then Sarek wins and Egham loses. You lose. The kingdom loses. Alex and all of his friends lose. I cannot stand by and allow that.
You have a man? Oh, I am so happy for you, Geneva.
Geneva saw a sparkle of life return to Kirsta's eyes. She was quite a beautiful woman, Geneva reflected. Just one more knot on Sarek's noose. One more destructive act that he would pay for.
Okay, Geneva, I will help you. But I have one condition, and I will not be denied it.
Kirsta, your help is worth anything I have.
Good. Then we'll get started as soon as you fulfill your obligation to me. Tell me all about your man. Everything.
Geneva and Kirsta both laughed and hugged each other. After a while, Geneva took Kirsta's damaged wrist and held it while she started telling about Alex. Kirsta didn't object to Geneva's use of magic on her wrist. Kirsta felt life and joy for the first time in many years. The two women got along well. They still took their walks along the beach every day, but they no longer sat in silence. Kirsta's books were treasures she had found while searching for the origin scroll, and treasures they were. Geneva was delighted at finding so many new spells and concoctions. Each night they lit a fire in the fireplace. The hut was not very cold. Even in winter the island did not suffer the freezing temperatures of the mainland because of the warm currents that flowed past the island. Blankets sufficed during the cold nights. The fire did provide light for reading, though, and Geneva pored through Kirsta's books as long as she was awake.
They talked and got to know each other well. Kirsta was surprised to learn of the new city Dalek. When she had first come to the island, Balfour was the only city in Targa that a ship could get near. She didn't know about Sarek's Yaki attack of 5 years ago. She also didn't know about the current amassing of goblins north of the boulders. She did, however, know where Sarek was. Or at least she knew where Sarek was 20 years ago, and thought he would still be there if no one had discovered him. The women magicians plotted and planned Sarek's downfall, but could not seem to come up with a way of accomplishing it. The days passed quickly, and all too soon it was time for Geneva to leave. Kirsta was weeping. Geneva, please do not try to take Sarek on by yourself. He is too powerful. He has devoted his life to the dark side. He was powerful 20 years ago, and I can't begin to fathom what he has learned since then. If you can, please come and stay again. I have enjoyed your visit more than you can ever imagine. I will, Kirsta. I may even get you off this island. The women hugged goodbye, and Geneva left for the cove. The trip back to Dalek gave Geneva time to think. Winter was still going strong, and a late spring would buy her some more time. She would need one of Oscar's horses for the trip up north. She would stop at Uncle Hazra's house on the way through Balfour. She wondered if anyone was taking care of the house. It was over 5 years since they left. She wouldn't be able to spend much time on memories, though. She had a sorcerer to slay.